I want to say good morning to all of you. It's been quite a week. A bunch of us went fishing here this past week, and next year, I'm sure there will be few. We went aboard the SS Dolphin Express, which we have renamed the SS Puke Express. Kaylin, be glad you didn't go, bro. Be glad you didn't go. I think we had 8 to 10 foot swells, which was not swell for many of us. there wasn't any shortage of chum. And in spite of all the chum that was all around the boat, we still couldn't catch fish. So anyway, but we had some of us had a good time, Phil. Phil and I had a good time. I saw him sick for a couple hours laid over. But anyway, well, it was an experience. I'll put it that way. After we were at a 3-hour ride out to the first fishing spot, Hannah went with me. We were going to have a special father-daughter experience together. When it was time to pick up a rod and fish, she goes, "Dad, I'm never doing this again. I want to go, and I want to go now." But evidently she impressed somebody, because Phil told me this morning he's going to encourage her to be a maritime captain. So who knows? We may have Captain Hannah in her family. Somehow I doubt that, though. I really doubt that. But anyway, Phil, thank you for helping us put that together. And everybody, it was a valiant effort. How about that? And next year when we're recruiting, we will not use this year's picture. Will we use the picture from 2 years before? I'm afraid we oversold it and under-delivered, but hey, that's okay. It's called fishing, not catching, amen? All right. Well, today I just want to say thank you to the dads here at this church. I want to say thank you. The scriptures tell us to give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. I hate that one. If revenue, then revenue. But here we go. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Today, we want to do exactly what Paul is talking about. We want to pay taxes. And even more so, we want to honor our dads. What a great time of year for us to pause and to think about how our lives have been shaped because of the care and the love of our fathers. The Bible even tells us one of the most important commandments is honor your father and mother. And Paul says this is the first commandment with a promise. Now remember, the first commandment was to worship God and serve him only. But this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you. It seems to me that God has a glorious plan. We don't always do it perfectly. We certainly fall short many times. But Dad, you really do matter. You really do count in God's plan to redeem the world. And we begin redeeming the world by redeeming our families. And you are that person. You have that job. You have that responsibility. And some of you may be sitting out here today going, "You know what? John, I know that you're asking us to honor your dads, but my dad, he really wasn't an honorable man. He was a mean man. He was a sorry man. He was a deadbeat." And I'm sorry if that is your experience. That is regretful. And I want you to know that you have the opportunity to change that legacy if that's a part of your experience so far in your life. And I also want you to know that that's not normal. Okay? And that's not how God planned it. And you right now can begin to make decisions in your life that will change the course for history to come as your family continues its family name. But for most of us, we can look to our dads, and while they're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, we can certainly express gratitude for so many things. Boy, you know what? Well, one of the things that we recognize and understand is when Dad is out of the picture, things don't go well. We know all kinds of statistical research that says when Dad's out of the picture, the children are more likely to go to jail. They're more likely to have psychological problems. They're more likely to perform poorly in school. There's higher dropout rates, crime rates, lower achievement, more gender identity confusion when Dad isn't around. But when Dad is around, that goes to show just how much dads count in the lives of their children. When dads are around, though, dads make a great, great difference. There's a lot of good men out there. And there's a lot of honorable men, and there's a lot of dads that deserve honor because they give their strength, they give their heart, they give their soul, they give their mind, they sacrifice for loyalty for their family and for their country and for their community. And that deserves a word of praise and a word of honor. We know who does the hard work, amen? We know who does the dirty work. We know who does the dangerous work. We know who does the back-breaking work. Now, I know, of course, I'm saying all of that, and I'm like, if there's any feminazis out there, I might get stoned after this sermon. But let me just go ahead and say what we all know is true. If something dangerous has got to be done or something that requires strength and courage and tenacity, there's the man. There's the man fulfilling his God-given duty and responsibility. And we want to honor, we want to praise, we want to give tribute to that today. Dads, I want to thank you for your dedication to your family, to the loyalty to your friends and your community, for the hard work that you give on behalf of others. I honor you. The Lord honors you today. I wish everybody could have a dad like mine. Now, as I say that, I don't think that would have been my confession during my teenage years. Amen? Do you know what I'm talking about? But as I have reflected on life a little bit, and a little gray and a little less is occurring on the crown of my head, I begin to understand just how amazing my dad was. I want to share a few stories about my dad because in talking about my dad, I hope it reminds you of your dad so that we can together express gratitude to our parents. You know, my mom and dad received a college education. They were the first ones in both of their families to receive a college degree. My dad was the youngest of five children. His father died 2 weeks before he was born. Now, you think about that. Yeah, that was 1939. That was in the South, and at the end of the Depression, those were some hard times right there. And my granny moved them all to town. They all got jobs, including my dad. And he was the first one to go to college. And that was back in the day in which if you had a college degree, it actually meant something. I don't know that it means today what it meant back then and the real opportunities that it opened up. And it opened up some great opportunities for my mom and dad. They moved from the country to the big city. They lived there in the burbs of Nashville, just 10-minute drive from where he was working. He was a plant manager, a graphics manager, worked really hard, had a great job and a great future, precious wife, just getting started in life together. They were in the fast lane making pretty good money. And then my grandfather, Fred Cameron Myatt, died in 1968. And that was 3 years before I was born. Figure that one out. I see some confusion up here. My granny lived on a farm that my grandfather had purchased, and she raised pigs and chickens and row cropped and raised cattle. And she needed help because her other son was in the military, and folks, that was in Vietnam, and he was around flying things, and no one was there. And she asked my mom and dad to move back to help her out. I never thought about this because I was angry for a long time in my life. Now, think about how silly this is. Other dads had time to play ball with their kids, but Dad usually got home after dark, and he left in the morning when it was still dark. And so we didn't get a lot of time of shooting hoops and throwing ball and stuff. But my dad drove an hour into work and ahead of rush hour traffic and an hour back after work. He left at 6 in the morning and he got home anywhere between 6:30 and 7, sometimes 8 at night. And he did that so they moved from the big city back to the country, and he drove back and forth to work every single day for about 27 years, all the time that I was growing up. He did that because that's what family does. They sacrifice for the good of all. to love my mother meant that he loved my mother's mother. And that he was able to do it all and accomplish that. And I honor him. I know that really cost my dad a lot. My dad's name is Arch. Everybody called him Archie. Can you imagine having a name like Archie? Wasn't there like a cartoon that, or if you say the word arch, I think of a foot for some reason. An arch in the foot. Okay. They messed up his birth certificate. It was supposed to be Arch Jr. He was the second generation. His dad was a sheriff in town, 6'5". My granny was 4'4". He was the youngest, and he was named Arch. Rather, they didn't get Junior on his birth certificate. They wrote J.R. So there we go. We had J.R. Ewing in our house. We had Arch J.R. McCord. I never knew another man whose name was Arch. I always thought that was a weird, weird, weird name. And I'm grateful that I am not the third. Amen. And then I think about that name. You know what Arch means? It's the top. It's the pinnacle. Like the arch of, you think about the St. Louis Arch. And as I think about my dad, that's what I think of now. That he is the top. He is the top because who he has been in my life. How many of you got to work alongside your dad? Maybe not all the time, but some of the times when your dad was home, you were right there with him doing dad things. I was that kid that was right there doing dad things. We had this little John Deere riding lawnmower. It had to be a late 50s, early 60s model. It had chrome moon hubcaps. Have y'all ever seen those kind of hubcaps on a car, much less a lawnmower? But this was from the factory. You could see your reflection in the hubcaps, and I thought that was the coolest, shiniest tractor on the face of the earth. And my dad I'd sit there at the window and watch him go around and around and around. I had a very boring life, going around and around in the yard. And then I got old enough to where Dad let me ride in his lap, and I got to go around and around. And then sometimes he would let me steer, and there was that little deer in the middle of that steering wheel, and that was so empowering to drive that thing. And then there came a day, he says, "Buddy, you ready to drive it?" And I mean, I'm talking like the anointing of empowerment. I can't remember how old I was, maybe 7, maybe 8 years of age, and I'm like, "Yeah, Dad, that would be so great." So I had to reach way down to push the clutch in. And I got the clutch put in, I got it in the right gear. There were 4 gears, and it actually had a gear shift. None of this sissy stuff, electrohydrostatic transmission. This is like clutch. It's so good. And then you had the deal where you put the mowers in gear, and I had all of that. And I did it. And the blade started turning, and I let off the clutch, and here we go. And I'm driving. Dad had already made a couple of cuts, and so I was staying on the line, and I'm driving that thing along. And our yard drops off down this hill, and when you get down to the bottom, there's several humps. And you have to navigate those humps sideways, not over the top, because when you do, the blades will belly out into the dirt. And that's what I did. I mowed the grass, and I mowed the roots of the grass, and I mowed the dirt. I mowed the dirt so well you would have thought I was running a tiller, not a mower. I mean, you could have planted cucumbers and melons all right there. Could have got them burpless cucumbers. Mama made those 13-day pickles with. It was so good. I can't wait to get there tomorrow to eat some of them. He's running down the hill of the yard. "Stop! Turn off the blades!" And I'm thinking, I'm going to die, And he got the blades stopped and got it. And he's like, "Buddy, you can't do that." You know what's so cool about all that? He wasn't mad at me. I mean, I was scared to death that, boy, I'm going to get it now. He wasn't mad. He got back on, and we did it together, and he showed me how to do that. And here we go. We just keep going again. What a blessing. I mean, man, I felt like I was driving a 9000 series John Deere tractor, 400 horsepower. It was awesome. Awesome. I got to work with my dad baling hay. That was the highlight of my summer, baling hay. I got to ride on my dad's tractor, the David Brown 990. It had the sickle blade mower. Remember those? They don't sell them anymore because they're outdated and deleted. And I got to watch that grass just lay down. And then I got to see my dad run the rake and the baler. And I'll never forget the time. I'll never, ever, talking about empowering your children. I'll never forget the time we had probably 500 or 600 bales of hay that you have to lift up and load. You know, none of this sissy stuff, round bale stuff that you see around these days. This is like hay bales that you pick up, manhandle. You know what I'm talking about? And I'll never forget the day. The hay was baled. It was on the ground. We were short some hands. Mama was at the house. Dad needed someone to drive the tractor with the trailer on the back. I'll never forget that. Because my job was to ride on the back of the trailer and hold my legs off and just bump around on the trailer. That was my job. Or I could make fun of the guys trying to throw some hay. But Dad said, come here. So I came around, and he stepped me up on that Minneapolis Moline tricycle wheel tractor. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Gasoline motor, 90 horsepower, clutch up here right beside the handle. 9 years old. I was Rebecca's age, if that puts it in context. My legs could not reach anything down like brakes, but all I could do was set up on the little shroud that covered the PTO, and that's where my feet would sit. And Dad put that thing in gear, and I drove that tractor between those bales of hay. Oh. I drove it good. I mean, I didn't hit a single bale of hay. I just steered that thing down there, and it was so empowering. And, you know, I was just making Dad proud. What a blessing. I remember that. And you know what? Here's what's great about all of that. Not that you know the stories about me or my dad, but I learned something about work. And that we give our strength and we give our time to feed our families and to feed our animals. We prepare, we execute, we plan, and we take care of. Now, Dad never told me that. He just showed me that. Do you get it? That's the language of fathers. Sometimes we're a little critical on Dad for not telling his kids that you love them, or that we don't say we love our kids enough. I sometimes wonder if we tell them too much now. And when little Johnny, you're just so perfect and everything's just great. When what we need to be doing is showing them so many things in life. My dad, he taught me how to work. Bills were always paid. Everyone was always provided for. I can still, to this day, hear him leaving early in the morning when I was first getting up, going to work, coming home late at night. He gave his strength for his family, his wife. How many of you had a dad that knew how to work and why he worked? How many of you had a dad like that, that knew how to work and knew why he worked? 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now think about that. A believer that does not provide for his family is worse than someone ignorant of what Christ has done for them. How bad is that? I mean, that's shameful. The scriptures also say in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of others. God loves work. Work is good. Scripture even tells us, what does God do in Genesis chapter 1? What does he do? God's first self-revelation of him to us is that he works. He creates. He does. And then he rests. And so if we're made in his image, guys, we fulfill that image of God. When you and I labor and we work and we give our intellects and our strength for the service and the good of others. Oh, we're at a premium. We're at our prime when we're doing that. So guys, I want to honor you today. I want to honor you. I want to praise you for your loyalty. I want to praise you for your sacrifice, because that's what being a dad is all about. All right. I want to thank Dad for 5 things here. This is the mark of a great father, and you're doing it. And I want to praise you for it. And I want to just, again, hold up the standard. Number one, if y'all want to follow along or write some notes or have some study time later on, I want to thank you, Dads, for being a great example to follow, Great dads are great examples. Y'all know, when there's not a subject matter that I remember studying in school. We used to get these things called textbooks. Do they still give y'all those? We took ours home. Do y'all get to take y'all's home? Say, we don't trust you like we trust us. Just kidding. I don't know why. It's weird to me. But in the textbook, when you were learning something new, there was always examples at the beginning of every chapter. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Here's the deal. We can't do anything in life without an example. If we don't have an example, it was like my experience one time trying to build a Sears and Roebuck metal shed for a lawnmower to be parked in that I had just bought. I bought a lawnmower and didn't realize I didn't have storage, so then I got to go buy storage to put the lawnmower in. So I was, what's the cheapest thing to do? Oh, give me one of those Sears cheap metal storage things. And I opened that thing up, and the instructions were in there, weren't printed out well, and I might as well have been reading something from South Louisiana. I couldn't understand it. There was a bag of screws in there, a gallon of just thousands of screws. I look at me and I'm like, are you kidding me? It took me, I don't know, maybe a month to finally get this thing done. I mean, no example. And that's what life is like without dads who are great examples. It is frustrating. It is hard. It is time consuming. But man, when we've got an example, we can do it, and we can do it really well. Dads, I want to thank you for being that example. And we just get it as we go. I mean, even though Dad and I didn't get to play a lot of stuff together, Saturdays were our play days, and we always played golf all day long, every Saturday. And my dad was rich enough to have a membership at a 9-hole country club with a little bitty swimming pool. And we were rich enough to have some golf clubs. And we were rich enough to have a 1950s model green 3-wheeled golf cart with a cloth canvas top with little shags hanging down the side. Are you following me? Everyone else had a nice Harley Davidson golf cart with no top. Are you following me? Okay. Their golf carts ran. Do y'all remember when Harley Davidson made golf carts? They were really cool. Little, you just push on the gas. When you push the pedal, it would fire up the motor, and there you go. So everyone else has got their nice little Harley Davidson golf carts. We've got this 1950s model. And the way you start this one is you take the key and you turn it. It was terribly embarrassing as a teenager. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? And what was so good about that? When things are so bad in my mind like this, I've got to play so good. That was one of my highest motivations for playing well. I'm like, at least I can shut up the critics if I'm beating them. They can drive their Harley Davidsons. I'll beat them in my old green no-name brand golf cart. So there we are in our little golf cart going around. And you know, as I reflect and I think about that, I bet it never even entered my dad's consciousness one time about how he looked or what other people thought. Because it doesn't matter. Luxury doesn't matter. Utility does. And being together does. Do you see that? And you know, you're not just taught that stuff. It's caught, church family. And that's why Larry Fulmer's children have always been embarrassed by being around him. Dad taught me something else from all of that, and that's live within your means. And that's an incredibly powerful lesson. Thank you, Dad, for being an encouragement. Number two, thank you, Dads, for loving your wives. You know, kids are attached to their mommies very, very early. And if Daddy is not nice to Mommy, the kids take it as though they're not being nice to them as well. But when you love that woman, when you honor, keep, and cherish her, you are honoring, keeping, and cherishing those children, and they intuitively get it. The love and affection shown from a father to a mother is magnetic. Every time, almost, I've walked into the house, snuggled up next to my wife, and started doing a little smoochy stuff, No, it's not. It's great. When our children were smaller, not so much now, but when our children were smaller and they saw that, you know what they would do? They would run over. And they won't in on that party. I mean, they're right in the middle of it, just making their way, busting up the party here. It's like, they want in on it. They want in on it. And that speaks not to their mind. It speaks to their heart when affection is shown. It's like, you see, when a father loves a mother, it's like a magnet. But when a father is maybe yelling at the mother or maybe arguing, you know, it's just the opposite. It's like a bowling ball has showed up and the pins scatter. We're either a magnet or we're a bowling ball. And I want to thank you, dads, for loving your wives. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know, you think about what Jesus did. There are several times where what happened to him, if it would have happened to me, and I had his power, see, there's the key, and I had his power, oh yeah, heads are going to roll. I mean, if I'm on the cross and the Jewish ruler says, well, he saved others, let him save himself, I believe that would have been the moment I would have opened up a can of whoop, and I'd have come off there and I'd have decapitated that guy just like that. But Jesus demonstrates strength and power in control. And he had something greater than just dominating and defeating that one person. He was dying for that person. He was dying for every person in the world, and he was dying so that we could be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. He never lost sight of his purpose. And guys, when the scriptures say, husband, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, he's calling us to bleed for our wives, to sacrifice for our wives. And folks, it's powerful when we do that. It is compelling when we do that. Our wives will follow us to the grave if we're sacrificing as Jesus did for them. Guys, there's power. We are called to be loyal to God and loyal to one another. So thank you, dads. Thank you for loving your wives. Number three, thank you, dad, for spending time with your kids. You know, you fathers know that time is your most valuable resource. If you hadn't figured it out, you soon will. It trumps money. You can't buy love. Even the Beatles got that one, amen? You can't buy me love. Okay, I won't do that. You can't buy love. It's time. Time is rare. And when you spend it on your children, they feel loved, they feel encouraged, they are bolstered, they are built up. Time together is a dad's love language. Okay? You don't have to get all that mushy, gooey, lovey-dovey language all good. You don't have to be a poet. Amen. Thank you. Okay? Time together is a dad's love language. It's the ticket. And I loved working together with my dad, playing together with my dad, making memories with my dad. My dad was there for me at many of my sporting events. He was there for my sisters at their events. I'll never forget the time. Talk about teaching your kids you love them in weird kind of ways. I'll never forget the time my sister was a point guard for the high school basketball team, and we were playing a private school. We were public school. We were playing a real rich private school up in Nashville. And this girl elbowed my baby sister when she was bringing the ball down. And the umpire, is it umpire or referee? It's baseball or basketball? Is it referee? There we go. Thank you, Coach Clint. He called a foul on my sister. Oh, the game was tight. It was near the end of the game. My dad was hot because she took it to the chin. I mean, that elbow came up there, and the foul was called on my... Oh, he was jumping up and down in the bleach. You could hear him. I was there. I witnessed it. I saw the whole thing. I was home from college during Christmas time, and I saw the whole thing. He's jumping up and down, and that referee, who happened to be bald... come up to put an inbounds ball, and my dad's back in the stands behind him, and he hands the ball right there. About that time, I don't know who threw it, but there was a wadded up bag of popcorn that came in, and it bipped that referee on the back of the head, and my dad and six other men got thrown out of that game. You know what I love about that? Okay, that's probably not the best way to do it. But it sends a message. I mean, think about it. Your dad is there, and your dad wants justice. He stands for what is right. He stands for what is wrong, and I don't care. There is a lesson to be learned in that. That might not have been the best way, but it was still a great lesson about justice. And I honor my dad, even though he's not always honorable. Thank you, Dad, for encouraging your kids. We all know that kids are packaged with enthusiasm and a lack of skill. And that's an interesting combination. Do y'all hear me? They're packaged with enthusiasm and a lack of skill. And they're going to get it wrong a lot. And you're going to have to either be frustrated or learn to laugh and fix a lot of things that they're going to mess up. Great dads laugh and they fix the messes that the kids make. If any of you, you know what, here's what I love about our Heavenly Father. This scripture means so much to me these days because I've lived long enough now to realize the magnanimity of my mistakes. He says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. How many of you have grown up with an idea that God is a fault-finding God? You hadn't read James 1, verse 5. And you know what? That's a good dad right there. And that's a standard that I need to work on living by. Rather than finding all the fault and trying to force conformity, join my children in their growth in life. That's my Heavenly Father's mode of operation. And dads, thank you for being that kind of dad. And number 5, Dad, thanks for teaching your kids right and wrong. Praise God for a dad who does this by his example. Right and wrong is one of those things, again, that's caught more than it's taught. When your kids see that you don't lie, cheat, or treat others badly, they pick up on these traits quite naturally. They need something to live up to, and they need your example. My dad's the most honest man I've ever known. And the reason I can say that is because I spent more time with that man than any other man in this room today. And there's a lot of great honest men here. You know how you can tell if someone's honest or not? You want to know what their character's like or not? It's how they tip. Amen? I didn't get an amen on that one. You ever been to a restaurant and mistakes were made by that waiter or that waitress? You know, I never once saw my dad leave a penny on a table. He'd pay them the same no matter what because generosity was just who he was. And you know what? When we would go back again after my dad had extended kindness to that waiter or that waitress, they would work extra hard for Mr. McCord. He was just that kind of guy. And I got to see that. I was blessed. Thank goodness our Heavenly Father doesn't pay us according to what we've earned. Amen? My dad never worked from the perspective of what's the most I can get out of life for the least. My dad worked from the perspective of what's fair and equitable. And I'm grateful. And I hope you had a dad like that. And if you didn't, I hope that you can be a dad like that. My dad's not perfect, but he certainly left an incredible impression on my life. Dads, we want to honor you today. We want to show in some special way that we love you, and we want to thank you for teaching us, encouraging us, spending time with us, loving our mothers, and being an example. And to dads, I just want to say, you are the man. Praise God for you. If we can serve any of you, we want to invite you forward while we stand in